Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined on the phone by Joe Masato. I am still in Oklahoma City. He is out in LA, where the Thunder has just lost to the Clippers 90-88 after a thrilling game in Los Angeles. The Thunder facing Paul George for the first time since trading him, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Danilo Gallinari returning to the Staples Center for the first time since that trade. Joe, since you're out there, will you give us an idea of what it was like in that last few minutes as the game really came down to the very end there?
Yeah, so I mean, I was sitting down near the baseline. And let's just say everyone on press row, everyone in the arena was standing up to try to see over the person in front of them. I mean, that's what kind of finish it was. Like, everyone was waiting to see what would happen. And after a really rough three quarters of basketball for both teams, and even in the first half of that fourth quarter, the ending was just epic. I mean, you had Chris Paul, former Clipper, making plays. You had Gallinari, former Clipper, making plays. You had Paul George, former Thunder player, making the biggest play. So, like, it just, how we set it up, you know, you writing about Shai, me writing about Paul George, like, those guys, they just all played such a big part. But Paul George reminded Thunder fans of what a clutch shooter he is with that final three that ended up being the difference.
Yeah, let's break down that whole last minute, because a lot went on. And there's a lot to unpack there. So first, you had Chris Paul finding Gallinari for a three. Gallinari had shot pretty poorly tonight. He had a very uncharacteristically poor shooting night tonight, but he makes a three in the clutch, ties it up 86-86. Then go down to the other end of the floor. Chris Paul gets a steal. He comes down and basically just runs into Paul George, gets the foul called, goes to the line, makes two free throws. Suddenly the Thunder's up 86-88 with half a minute left, and the Clippers call a timeout. And then in that timeout, Doc Rivers sets up that play that you mentioned that gets Paul George a shot.
Yeah, and the fascinating part of that sequence is, and I know we'll get to this in a bit, but Terrence Ferguson, who I thought did a stellar job defending Paul George. So when Doc called that timeout, Billy Donovan made a switch, and he basically went with a lineup of the three-point guards, Chris Paul, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Dennis Schroeder. They were on the floor with Danilo Gallinari and Steven Adams. So to set up that play, Donovan took Terrence Ferguson out, and he said after the game that in hindsight, he regrets that decision. CP was guarding Paul George, couldn't get through a Montrezl Harrell screen. And, you know, Billy Donovan took the blame. Chris Paul took the blame of not getting through the screen better. But, you know, I thought that was the most fascinating part post-game of how that one, you know, substitution, that one play changed it all.
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's not as incredible as Terrence Ferguson is, it's not guaranteed, right, that he would have been able to contest that shot more, but
right,
but Chris Paul was nowhere near Paul George at that point.
And Chris Paul had also defended Paul George well. Like, I didn't think that would be a matchup we would see all that much.
He's got a bit of a size disadvantage there.
Yeah. I mean, but I would say those two guys were definitely his primary defender tonight.
Yeah, no, and he had done very well very recently, right? I mean, I think in his post game, Billy Donovan referenced how well Chris Paul did battling Paul George in the post. There are so many first names.
I know. It's really tough. It's confusing.
So many Pauls and such. And so they call that play. It's really well designed. In order to, Paul George cuts back and is able to get free, takes an open three, The Clippers go up by one. It's 88-89 with 25.9 seconds on the clock, which is still, I mean, when it's that close to the game, that's a good amount of time for the Thunder to potentially put together a comeback. But so they get down on the other end of the floor. They run a little time off the clock. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander misses a three, but then they rebound. And now it's looking like the Thunder really have a good chance because they have the shot clock reset. They can wind it down, get that last second shot off in order to go ahead and, you know, potentially go ahead and not give the Clippers a chance to counter. And then Gallinari gets fouled. So a foul is called on the floor, a reach in.
Yeah, on Mo Harkless.
And it looks like he's about to go take free throws, but mm-hmm. then the Clippers challenge the call.
Yeah, and it gets overturned, and that's another fascinating part of this game. Doc Rivers has been very outspoken in his dislike for the challenge rules, especially on overturning fouls, but this is one that he absolutely had to do. I mean, he had to use a challenge or else he was going to waste it. And, you know, from the replay they kept showing in the arena, I thought, you know, maybe Harkless didn't. He definitely reached, but it was a matter of, did he get the ball? Did he get Danilo Gallinari's hand? I didn't think it was going to be enough to overturn it.
So I was under the impression, and I could definitely be wrong. I obviously was here and listening to the broadcast and didn't get any confirmation on any of this, but I thought because it's clearly a foul, right? Like, unless you're talking about hand being part of the ball, it looked like a foul. It's a reach in. I thought that they were debating whether or not it was a shooting foul. Did you get any clarification on that?
I thought it was just the foul was overturned. I mean, I didn't think he was, man, I don't know. Everything was moving fast here, so maybe I'm just mistaken.
It might not have, I don't know how many team fouls they had at that point.
Well, regardless, I mean, the Thunder, the result of the challenge was granted. I mean, Doc Rivers won the challenge. And on foul calls, what's interesting, no matter if it was a shooting or non-shooting, Billy Donovan likes to talk about the stat, how foul calls are the hardest to get overturned. So basically, you know, out-of-bounds calls are the easiest to get overturned. Then goaltending fouls, they only get overturned around 30% of the time, and this was a huge one. Now, the Thunder, you know, it's not like they completely bore the brunt of this because they still had a side out-of-bounds play, still had a shot with Danilo Gallinari, a really good look, and missed it. But going to the free throw line, that would have been probably two makes from Gallinari, and that puts the Thunder up by one, so it definitely changed the game.
Right. Either two makes or, like, he's going to at least make one of the two.
You so at least tie
at least
it up.
A tie game. Yeah. But, yeah. And so, like you said, Gallinari ends up getting the last shot of the game. He misses. It was a good shot. But, yeah, the Thunder barely lose on that. Then there's this whole mess where, like, the game is definitely done, but there was a foul, and so then they have to replay it to go to replay to figure out whether the foul was before or after the time expired. And then so Paul George ended up getting a free throw, and
yeah,
there's,
I mean,
like,
it was 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, so he takes a free throw, he makes it, then he purposely misses a second, so that 0.3 falls off the clock and time expires. But I mean, it's an interesting, we saw Paul George. I mean, like, what was going through my head is, I, like, previous to Paul George coming to Oklahoma City, he had this reputation, which, like, probably not, Game-winning shots are really hard to make, and for somehow there had become a running joke about how he could never make them. And he, like, those are hard, and he wasn't making them. And then suddenly gets to Oklahoma City, and he starts making all these game winners, and then turns around and does it to the Thunder in their very first matchup against each other.
Yeah, I mean, someone said in the post-game press conference that he's had more, I don't know exactly what mark it is, like within how many seconds, but basically he's got more game-winning shots dating back to the beginning of last year than anyone in the league.
I'd believe that, because he had three or four last year. It was ridiculous.
And that's a ton. I mean, like, that seems like a really big number, so.
Yeah, and so far it looks like Gallinari, I mean, as long as he's with the Thunder, is going to be their go-to guy in situations like that. But he has, he's gotten the ball in his hands the last couple and has just barely missed. So
yeah, I mean, he hit that big one, hit that big shot against Philadelphia, right? Mm-hmm. I hope I'm getting this.
Yeah, well, and he hit another.
I mean, that wasn't a buzzer shot. Beater, but
yeah, he had a big shot there. He had a big shot tonight, but that final play here misses it, and then there was another set play where he barely missed. That I wish I remembered the exact specifics. But he seems to be the go-to for those inbounds plays, he's the guy that you want taking those because he's such a proven consistent shooter. But that doesn't mean that you're going to make it every time, right? Like these are really hard.
And I think they'll take the look that they drew up for him. And he said it was a good look. He just missed the shot. He just didn't shoot the ball well tonight. 3-13, 2-8 from three. And he's, you know, playing against a good defensive team when you're still trying to sort through things offensively. Like if Gallinari doesn't shoot the ball well, the Thunder don't have a great chance to win. Now, they could have won this game because they, too, played really good defense. And the Clippers also shot really poorly, so it was just a weird game in that sense where, you know, was it good defense, was it bad offense, probably somewhere
both.
In between. And then that, you know, luckily the final 5 minutes saved it from being kind of a dud of a game, and then it turned into a great game all of a sudden.
Yeah, Gallinger is funny because he's still shooting like he has been shooting well all game, right? He had like at least two super deep threes that I can think of. It's like, okay, sure, yeah, heat check when you've been ice cold for the whole quarter, but yeah, sure. I mean,
yeah, Thunder was 7 of 27 from three, 26%. Clippers not too much better, 10 of 36, 28%.
Yeah, it was like, I'm pretty sure it was like the 6 minute mark or something like that in the second quarter when the Thunder finally made their first three, and it was Shea's three, and they were 1 of 9, and it's just like, ooh, off to quite a start. I mean, and a lot of that, the 3-point shooting seemed to be, I mean, yes, there were contested shots, but that seemed to be more of a, neither of these teams, for whatever reason, is shooting that well, because they played good 3-point defense, but not that good.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. Billy Donovan said the same thing after the game. He was like, both teams just did not shoot the ball well. It's not like everyone was guarded on the perimeter perfectly. It was just kind of an off night for both teams in that sense. So, I thought the most interesting part of the night was talking to Paul George after all of this and sort of what he said. I mean, I was finished in the Thunder locker room getting all of those interviews done, and I guess Paul George was taking his time getting ready and stuff like that. And they actually had him speak in the main press conference room here at Staples Center because they knew the demand. So that was helpful for everyone because Thunder, you know, media covering the Thunder wanted them, Clippers. So it made sense And I thought he had some, you know, interesting insights. I mean, our former colleague, Eric Horn, asked him, you know, a very good question. He said, you know, obviously Paul George is taking so much to the attention, but he asked Paul what he thinks of the haul that the Thunder got, like now seeing them in his former uniform, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and then Paul George added at the end, and like 100 draft picks, and then everyone laughed. So he was very complimentary of I think everyone in the building called Shai Gilgeous-Alexander a future star tonight. I know Doc Rivers did, Paul George did, Chris Paul did, probably some people in the stands. So everyone was complimenting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
That guy's a future star.
Yeah, overheard.
Why'd we trade him?
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting, kind of like, because it's got to feel a little weird, right, for Paul George. Like, you know, when you know how good, obviously the Clippers would always make this deal. It's hard to get someone of Paul George's caliber, and you've got to do everything possible.
And but then Kawhi's when you see caliber. How much,
exactly. You're right. I mean, they traded basically for two people, and the Thunder received all that. But it's kind of interesting to see. Okay, like wow, they got all that. Like I better play good. So I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that is fun. Any other highlights from Paul's post game?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't like emotional or anything.
Yeah, it would have been kind of weird if he was.
Yeah,
emotion is weird. Just
I don't expect him to be like crying before the game, but it was just like regular what you see from any NBA player who's playing their former team. I mean, he went over and gave Billy Donovan a hug after the game. He probably talked to them a lot more. He gave Terrence Ferguson a hug, Nerlens Noel, Steven Adams, and he was just, you know, talking with the guys, but it wasn't anything over the top. But yeah, I think one of the things that he was also asked about is Clippers have played well without him when Kawhi's healthy. Clippers have played well with him without Kawhi. And tonight, a lot of us thought we'd see that duo debut for the first time, and they're still waiting on that. And I'm just going to say this team's going to be good when that happens.
I was so looking forward to finally seeing them paired up together. But yeah, Kawhi again out with, is it left knee contusion?
Yeah, that's right.
For the third straight game, we had Hamidou Diallo on the Thunder's side still out with a knee sprain.
Yeah, left knee sprain.
So many left knees. It was
a lot of left.
It was
Steven Adams was a
left knee too. Something about this year.
Something about those left knees. Mine feels okay, but you know.
Oh no! Now I'm
hopefully,
worried.
Hopefully, guys, nurse up these left knees. But the Diallo thing is, I mean, Billy didn't make it sound serious, but he was just like very to the point, like he's out, like and he's gonna be reevaluated I guess tomorrow before the Lakers game. So if he said that, I mean, he's close I guess to coming back, but
well, and in the Sixers game too, he said that he didn't think it was a thing where he'd have to sit out for a prolonged period of time, so it seems like that hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, he made the trip. He was sitting in the locker room, icing his knee. I think he did a little bit of a workout pregame, so I don't think it's any. I don't think either injury. I don't think Hamidou Diallo's or Kawhi Leonard's interesting because, like, this is more than a load management thing because he's missed three consecutive games now, so right. Hopefully that's not a serious issue with his left knee. Like, they're not. He didn't not play tonight because of rest. I mean, this is like a legit thing. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Someday we'll see them play together.
Someday.
It'll be wild. That, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how it's be interesting to see how they share the ball. And I mean, they're both such good defensive players. that them plus Patrick Beverly is going to be a terrifying trio.
Yeah, I mean, that defense is going to be incredible. And also the offense, like the Thunder were running. They were trapping Paul George. They were constantly running two guys at him. They were making Montrezl Harrell had a huge scoring night. A lot of that was right at the rim and on pick and rolls with either Lou Williams or Paul George setting him up. And Paul George said after the game, like, when Kawhi comes back, like, teams aren't going to be able to do that. They're not going to be able to run two guys at Paul George because someone's got to guard Kawhi. So things are going to open up offensively, clamp down defensively when he's back.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that defense on Paul. Great transition here. So, like you mentioned, a lot of Terrence Ferguson on him, some Chris Paul on him. I almost said Paul George. Some Paul George on Paul George.
CP on PG.
Yep. And Terrence had a fantastic game. I can think of one step back where Paul George really got some separation, but man, when he goes from scoring over 30 points in his first two games and then to cut him down to 18 tonight, that's a feat.
Yeah, and it wasn't an easy 18 either. He just never looked in rhythm. His easiest shot of the day was that game winner. and Terrence Ferguson 100%. Wasn't on the floor. So, but Ferguson, you know, Paul George also said this in his post game that, you know, he told Terrence, like, hey, keep doing what you're doing. And it's interesting because, you know, for so long or for 2 years, Paul George kind of mentored Terrence Ferguson, helps him become a better defender. Mm-hmm. And it's like Terrence Ferguson was unleashed on Paul George tonight and he was just hounding him. I don't know if it was a thing where, you know, Terrence knew Paul's tendencies and could, you know, sure, obviously knows the ins and outs of his game and maybe is better suited to defend that, or if there was maybe a chip on his shoulder because he's facing his former teammate. I don't know what it was, but Terrence Ferguson looked like an elite defender tonight.
Well, it definitely is a really nice full circle moment because even in Paul's exit interview, he was talking about how big of a leap Terrence had made from year one to year two and how they needed him to make another leap and how huge that would be for them if he did. And so, I mean, and you're seeing that you're not going to see as big of a difference from year one to year two, because he went from not a very good defender to a pretty darn good defender. So now it's gone from a really good defender to verging on great, you know?
And that's what they need with, you know, they went from having two of the best defensive wings in the NBA in Paul George and Andre Robertson. Obviously, Paul George is gone. Andre is still hurt. And, you know, someone's got to pick up that slack. And I think, like, Terrence Ferguson and Hamidou Diallo and maybe Shea Gilgeous-Alexander can be those guys. But Terrence is a level above them right now. He's already an above-average defensive player. And what a task for him back to back. I mean, I would expect you know, the Thunder are going to throw a lot of looks at LeBron on Tuesday, but I bet Terrence is going to have a big part in that assignment as well. And like going Paul George, LeBron James back to back doesn't sound that much fun to me, honestly.
Well, I mean, that's why he's able, like, that's why he says stuff like, I'm mostly focused defensively, and that's why his offensive numbers haven't been that impressive, but he's had such tough defensive assignments. Like, you have to give a little somewhere. And so if it's only tonight, he shot 2 of 5.
I thought both makes were big, though.
They were. They were very timely.
I thought he had more points because those two baskets that he did have were so timely and impactful on the game.
Yeah, especially that three was like, I immediately was like, oh my gosh, he's having an amazing offensive game. And I look back, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, okay, well, when it matters, he's having a great offensive game.
Yeah, I think it's highlighted because it's easy to see that he was playing so well defensively. And then when he makes a couple buckets, you're like, wow, he's having like a great all around game. Right. And even though it's just two makes, I mean,
count it.
I think they're okay with Terrence Ferguson going 2 of 5. I mean,
yeah, because if you can cut Paul George down from 30 something to 18.
Yeah, you're making up the difference.
Yeah, like count those points towards your offense. Like you're good.
Yeah, I mean that's why you had a 90-88 game instead of 108-106.
Right.
I mean, the Clippers scored 150 points the other night.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the Thunder as a whole played good defense. And like you said, it wasn't just Terrence. Especially, I think they did a good job of setting the tone early with Paul and really being, really throwing a lot of guys at them. Like, every time he drove to the basket, like, four guys were collapsing on him. You had him, they were trapping him on the perimeter. They were like set the tone early, like, hey, other guys are gonna have to do the scoring tonight, like, mm-hmm. you can't just carry this team. And you know, that obviously they're not gonna trap him for however many minutes, 48 minutes. but they kept going back to that and kept putting pressure on him and kept putting multiple guys on him. And yeah, I mean, and we can't forget to mention that Terrence Ferguson also, in addition to guarding Paul George, guarded Lou Williams, who is another fantastic offensive player. So it's not like without Kawhi, they only have Paul George. Like, it's still a pretty deep team. Like, when you're having Lou Williams come off the bench, like, you're in a pretty good shape.
Yeah, and you've got... I mean, Billy mentioned that as well. Like, it wasn't just Paul George. Terrence was also guarding Lou. And Lou Williams and Paul George combined to shoot less than 50%. And I think they'll take that any day. And, like, what a change of pace and assignments. Like, you know, Paul is a bigger-bodied wing. And, like, Lou Williams is just so quick and explosive. Like, it's not like they have the same style of play. So for him to guard both those guys on the same night, I thought was impressive. I mean, I know we're talking about a lot of positives after a loss, but this is obviously a game the Thunder is not expected to win. But I thought they flashed some things that aren't, like, I think at this point, more so than like the results, like, the Thunder have to see some of these young pieces show promise. And I think, like, when Terrence Ferguson steps up defensively like that, you're like, okay, like, this can translate to a winning team.
Well, since we're getting so positive here, let's hit some of the negatives.
Let's do it.
The offense was terrible.
Yeah,
it was bad. Oh my gosh, it was weird too to have a night where just like neither team was making shots. And like we said, only part of that can be attributed to the defense of the other team. Both stout defensive teams, but just like so many misses that you'd expect to be makes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think with all the good things we've said about the defense, like, this could have been kind of a blowout, like, if the Clippers were hitting any shots, because the Thunder's offense was rough. I mean, we mentioned Gallinari 3 of 13, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, didn't do a ton offensively. I thought Chris Paul was really their biggest initiator on offense. He went to the free throw line 11 times, but there was just, like, you know, Dennis Schroeder had a really rough night shooting. And if he's having a rough night shooting, they don't really have a lot of other punch off the bench to get going when those starters sit. And I think those were their worst lineups tonight, when they had to play those the bench units with maybe one starter on the floor.
Yeah, and like we mentioned, the Clippers bench is so impressive that when you have Lou Williams out there against a group where no one's where Dennis Schroeder isn't scoring, so no one's really scoring, then it mm-hmm. looks that much more lopsided.
And that's what it looked like. I mean both teams were in the same exact boat. I mean, the game script followed suit for both teams through three and a half quarters, and then both teams got some big shots late, and I don't know. Paul George did it.
He did. That's all I can say. He did the darn thing.
He did the darn thing.
Yeah, Chris Paul ended up with that 22-point high for the Thunder. A lot of that, like you said, was getting to the free throw line. We saw that rip move several times again.
Holy cow. It was like three times.
It was a lot.
Rodney Magruder. I think he got cut twice on it.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. Keep your hands back.
Andy was 0 of 7. Tough night for Mr. Magruder.
But I mean, in addition to getting to the free throw line, which was huge, he also had some very timely shots. I mean, and assists. I mean, we talked about how great of a shot Gallinari's game-tying shot was, but that was set up by Chris Paul. He had 4 steals tonight, and I mean, we mentioned the one late in the game. They were in some of them in very in situations where the momentum could go either way, and he brought it back to the Thunder. And obviously, I'm sure he wishes he could have done more in those final seconds, but another, you know, 2 consecutive 20-point games for him. I think he's starting to kind of take the responsibility, especially late in games and down the stretch, onto his shoulders more.
Yeah, it's, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was surprised how in control and how much of a focal point of the offense Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was. And he's not necessarily, I mean, he's struggling a bit, but more so than struggling, he just doesn't seem to be as involved offensively. And I think Chris Paul has taken up that slack a little bit. Like, those guys, to mm-hmm. me, have shifted roles. Like, Chris Paul was, you know, ceding to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I thought, a lot at the beginning of the year. And now Chris Paul is taking over in some of those big moments. So that's always an interesting thing to watch. And I'll say this, is we talk a ton about the 3-point guards. Billy Donovan, I asked him today again about it. He said he still sees Shai as a long-term point guard. And I asked him that because Doc Rivers spoke before Billy Donovan, and Doc said that he likes, from the film that he's seen on the Thunder, he likes Shai better off the ball. He says he pairs great with someone like Chris Paul, and he says he wishes he could have done the same with the Clippers if they felt confident in their options at point guard to put alongside him. So, yeah, I thought that was good insight from Doc.
That is fascinating. All right, any other tidbits from L.A. that you want to hit before we, I guess, wrap up / talk a little bit about this?
The only tip that I have is, I don't know if the background noise has been bad on this. I hope
not. Oh, it hasn't been bad. I mean, you can hear a little bit of beeping here and there. I also hope my dog has not been too loud.
The fascinating part to me, and you told me to get ready for this, is how much the arena changes versus for a Clippers game and a Lakers game. So like right now I'm seeing like racks of Clippers merchandise being rolled out, Lakers stuff being rolled in.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And like they're doing all this. I mean, it's a back to back, so they've got to change everything. And it looks like they're going to be doing it overnight here. So it's kind of cool to see the inner workings of that and how quick this thing gets made over.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, we can talk more about this tomorrow, but the lighting and the pregame rituals and everything shifts. It's the same building, and generally in the same seats, but it feels like a completely different place.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that change. But yeah, hopefully we have another, I guess, hurry up and listen to this one because we'll have another one soon.
Real soon. So yeah, Thunder plays the Lakers tomorrow, aka Tuesday. I guess technically today because it's 2:30 Oklahoma City time right now.
I'm really sorry
as
about
we're
that.
Recording. No, I mean you're gonna do it too when I'm on the West Coast. So this will be up still. So I guess later today, the Thunder will take on the Lakers, facing LeBron James in a Lakers uniform for the first time. Yes, that is true. He did not play the Thunder last year. Him personally, obviously, the Lakers played the Thunder, but he, with injuries and stuff, he did not face the Thunder in any of those meetings. So, yeah, real tough back-to-back. That's brutal. They're, at least before tonight, were number one in the league. I can check to see if that's still true. But, in terms of superstar duos, the AD LeBron one seems to be shaking out.
Yeah, it's winning so far. And, yeah, this is a crazy back-to-back. Good news for the Thunder is they at least get to sleep in the same hotel and know where they're showing up tomorrow.
Same for you, too.
Yeah, same for me.
All right. Well, with that, we will let you actually get back to the hotel and maybe get a little sleep before churning out a bunch more content for us tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it with your friends, your neighbors, your enemies, your pets, and we will see you later today. Or actually, I guess technically tomorrow. It'll probably be around 2 a.m. again.
yep,
That will be recording after the Lakers game.